Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is class session 501, and for the next 15 minutes, we're going to begin studying the second missionary journey of Paul, at least the beginning of that journey. The lesson text is Acts 15, verses 36 through Acts 16 and verse 5, and there is a devotional reading for this lesson. The 67th Psalm. You may want to turn to the 67th Psalm, and we'll read that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read the devotional reading, the 67th Psalm. There's an inscription to this psalm: for the chief musician on stringed instruments. A psalm, a song. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou wilt judge the peoples with equity, and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise thee, O God, let all the peoples praise thee. The earth hath yielded its increase. God, even our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now there's a geographical note as we begin this second missionary journey. It's about Antioch of Syria and Antioch of Pisidia, and the difference in making sure we know that there were two Antiochs in the book of Acts, one in Syria and one in Pisidia. Now, we read in Acts 15 in verse 36, and after some days, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they fare. After tarrying some days at Antioch, now this is Antioch of Syria, on their return from the Council of Jerusalem, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they fare. I'm glad of the opportunity to repeat here that which has been said in former lessons on the subject of proclaiming the word of the Lord. This duty cannot be impressed too strongly because the failure to do so is so general. Wherever the apostles went, they proclaimed the word of the Lord. They did this in order to turn people, all people, the most learned Athenians are the most densely ignorant, the devout and the generous Cornelius are the grossest and basest idolater, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, are to make Christians. When they visited churches which they had established, they still proclaimed the word of the Lord, rather taught the word of the Lord in order to build them up, beginning with a great commission given by the Lord to his apostles. Let it be noted that he says, go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. And also where he said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:18-20. Luke says, in Luke 24:46-48, preach repentance and remission of sins in Christ's name unto all the nations. Further, let it be emphasized that the apostles preached and taught accurately that's what Jesus commanded them to preach and teach. Beginning at Jerusalem, as commanded, they preached the gospel, proclaiming the word of the Lord, went everywhere preaching the word, and preached nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then people received the word of the Lord and did so gladly. The word of the Lord increased. The word of God grew and multiplied by the number of disciples multiplying exceedingly. And so mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. The apostles and all preachers of the New Testament not only determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but they preached not themselves, their own wisdom, exploits, experiences, self-conceits, doings of their own families, etc., but Christ Jesus as Lord, and themselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Paul declares that he and Apollos were only farmhands in God's tilled land. He planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, 1 Corinthians 3:5-9. Paul asked, not who, but, in the Revised Version, what then is Apollos, and what is Paul? With Paul, Apollos, Peter, as with all true and humble men of God today, it was not who is who. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus, not to take charge of the church there, but to charge certain men there not to teach anything different than the Word of God, and to avoid all untaught questions, to build up and honor the elders, to commit the truth to faithful men who would teach it to others, to treat old men as fathers, old women as mothers, and young women as sisters, and not as sweethearts, and to instruct and edify the church in general in everyday Christian conduct in all relationships and business affairs of life for the same purpose. Titus was left in Crete. Timothy and Titus were not modern pastors or pastors at all. Timothy was not the minister of the church at Ephesus, and Titus was not the minister and not the evangelist of the churches on the Isle of Crete. They were both evangelists, or preachers of the gospel, and had ministries to fulfill, but they were to do this as servants according to the will of God, and not as church functionaries or dignitaries. They preached and taught the word of the Lord to these churches and to the world, but they were not placarded to preach at 11 o'clock a.m. and 8 o'clock p.m. on Sundays as the pastors, the ministers, or the evangelists of the churches, and that too on some modern, sensational, historical, or literary theme. They sought neither place nor popularity, but the glory of God. Mark the great contrast between preaching and teaching of the apostles and all preachers and teachers of the New Testament, and that of many preachers today, who claim to be true to the Bible, and speak where it speaks to be silent where it is silent, by many, far more jokes, anecdotes, and modern stories, etc., are told in Bible stories and principles. Far more quotations are made from the literature and wisdom of men of the world than from the word of the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And when preachers do not know and do not love the word of the Lord, they cannot preach it. Those who do not seek first, that is above all things, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, cannot preach the good tidings concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who do not glory in the cross of Christ only cannot preach only Christ and Him crucified. Still another thing which Paul says must be impressed, namely, visit the churches and see how they fare. Preachers now should not only go into places where there are no Christians, as did the apostles and evangelists of the New Testament, but having started churches, they should visit them also, see how they fare, and should teach them the word of the Lord, until all are able to build themselves up in love. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 and down through verse 16, we read, "Till we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in craftiness, after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together, that through that which every joint supplieth according to the working and due measure of each several part, making the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love." What so-called evangelists of today do this? Evangelizing of today is not always the work that the evangelists of the New Testament did. These two things of the New Testament order of preaching and teaching are very much neglected, if not disregarded, at present. Under the subheading of Mark withdrew from the work, we read in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 40. "And Barnabas was minded to take with them John also, who was called Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with him, who withdrew from them in Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they parted asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark with him, and sailed away into Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas, and went forth, being commended by the brethren unto the grace of God." Barnabas, too, thought he and Paul should visit these churches, and was desirous of taking John Mark with them. Did human nature or kindred ties have any influence with Barnabas? Human relationships now affect men. There is such a thing as nepotism. Be that as it may, the fact is, Barnabas wished to take Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take Mark, because Mark withdrew from them at Perga in Pamphylia, returned to Jerusalem, Acts 13:13, and went not with them to the work. This was Paul's reason for not taking Mark. Barnabas gave no reason for wanting to take him. There was some reason for Mark's turning back, but his motive is not expressed. It is thought that he lacked the courage to brave the dangers and to endure the hardships of the journey that lay ahead. To say the least, he was not satisfactory to Paul, and he stoutly opposed taking Mark, while Barnabas as stoutly favored taking him. They contended sharply over this, and finally parted asunder. Neither yielded to the other. Barnabas took Mark and sailed away into Cyprus. This was fitting because Cyprus was Barnabas's early home, and he had helped Paul to preach the gospel there. But, in contrast to what Barnabas did, Paul chose Silas and went forth, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. In commending Paul and Silas on this journey to the grace of God, the church must have come together and prayed for them the guidance and the grace of God. Now we wonder, why should they record this difference between Paul and Barnabas? Well, we're going to look at that as we begin our next class. But it's true that men today have differences. Paul and Barnabas did not have differences of doctrine, but differences of opinion.